Hi there, and welcome to another Art of Relationships podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Tim Yohoff.
We had the opportunity to talk with Lindsay Snyder, CEO of In-N-Out Burger, a few weeks ago, and we wanted to bring you into that conversation today.
After getting to know Lindsay just a little bit, we found her to be such a strong woman of faith, Chris. She has shared her experiences with divorce and difficult family situations, and how she has learned to prioritize her family while running a billion-dollar company. She's also interested in resourcing other marriages that are struggling. Let's take a listen.
Well, Lindsay, it's fun to see you again and to visit with you. Can we just start with some things that are on your heart right now? When you start thinking about the world and the life that you are living, there are so many ways that you see God's hand. What are some unique ways or special ways that He has been real to you and that you get to see Him and walk with Him and know He's there?
Well, His grace has just been made so real in my life that it has made my love for others grow so much, and I feel just an overwhelming sense of love for so many people. And certain days I feel it more, and it's just like, wow, I just feel God's love like pouring through me, and I just want to, you know, pour it out, and I want people to understand how much He loves them. And I think a lot of people can get tied up with, you know, what someone's doing or, you know, what exact beliefs they have, but, you know, His love is unchanging, and I think that, you know, we can get divided over so many different things, and it's sad, but I do feel God continues to put people in my life that are having marital issues. I realized, you know, I posted something on Facebook, and I don't even remember what it was, but it was something just with truth and relationships, and I had a couple different women reach out to me that I haven't talked to in years, and they both shared some very serious things going on, and that made me realize, wow, you know, putting those things out there, those morsels of truth with Scripture, and just asking, you know, who's going through this, who has pain in this area, and just putting that out there, there are so many people that are willing to say, help me, help me. And I think that sometimes we're too afraid to offend people or, you know, be that real. You know, people are going to want to back away from you. But I do feel that God has put me in a place to be bold and to hopefully help those people that aren't really sharing with someone.
That's great. Let's go back to, you said two things that really struck me. One is grace, which, boy, I think that's the heart of the New Testament church. And we actually, with the Center for Marriage and Relationships, we actually did a whole conference called Grace-Filled Marriages. And then I think about what you said about hope, which I find so many couples, they just lose the hope, and they think things are never going to get better. So how in your parenting, in your marriage, what are some ways that you can infuse it with grace in practical kind of ways that will help you as you interact with people of all kinds?
Let's see, with parenting and marriage. Well, both of them need a lot of it. with parenting, I feel like I use a lot of grace. And so sometimes my husband and I end up bumping heads a little bit with the discipline factor, because I feel very strongly about discipline. I believe that it's so important. God disciplines those He loves. We are called to discipline. But I don't know if I err more on the side of grace. And then it's like, okay, well, where do you find that balance? Because you have to hold them accountable, and you have to show them there's consequences for their actions. But then sometimes you look at their heart, and I believe that's what grace does. It looks at the heart and the why. And if you're able to see, this came from here, this wasn't malicious, or this came from this place, you know, you're able to break it down. And, you know, maybe you still have consequences, but at least in your own heart, your heart towards the children, you know, you can see the grace in action when you go there.
But that's funny. My wife and I, we sailed through the first couple of years of marriage. We're doing great. And then we had kids. And then you realize, boy, we do have different parenting styles. And the grace thing really was true with us, was like, you know, Noreen wants these certain expectations and I just, you know, want to have more fun. It kind of because my dad and I had a strained relationship where it wasn't a lot of fun. So I wanted to have fun. So Grace was, and then, but you have to negotiate that, right? When you have two different views of what counts as what. And so how have you and your husband, in those moments where you kind of feel like, hey, we're seeing this differently, what? How do you talk it out? What are some things that you guys might do?
Well, one thing I learned from actually the elder that we sought counsel from before we got married was, you know, if you ever are in disagreement, you don't do that in front of the kids.
No.
You know, yeah. You need to back each other up and then, you know, go behind closed doors and discuss, yeah. you know, yeah. the areas of disagreement because your kids need a stable foundation and yeah. they need to see you in agreement. Otherwise, they'll go to the weaker link or whatever, you know, they'll go, okay, well.
She's easy.
Yeah. And I think that that unity is really important. And I think that there's only been a couple times, you know, we messed that one up. But for the most part, we really agree on parenting. And I think that that's mm-hmm. such an important thing for mm-hmm. couples to work out. You know, if they are having huge disagreements on the style of discipline and, you know, what do? Do you raise your voice or do you say it firmly? Do you keep giving them second chances or do you stick with it? Like all of those things are really important. I would really suggest if anyone has some difficulties there that they should totally seek counsel. Just go to some old school parents and and see what they did and find out because today's culture is not really helping a lot of children. It's making a lot of selfish, entitled kids that get away with a lot and a lot of lack of respect. So we need some good parents. We need good parents out there.
So I just want to point something out real quick that just struck me again. Chris and I are in a marriage group. We've been doing this group for how long, Chris? Have we had this group
almost
together?
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But what you just said is so good that when we share our parenting struggles with each other, that's a wonderful thing when another parent says, oh, we struggle with that. Oh, my goodness, we disagree on how much grace and stuff. And it's so liberating to know that there's other people that struggle with the exact same things that you do, because we've talked about spiritual battle before. You actually came to our class at Biola University, and you talked about spiritual battle. And I think Satan loves to isolate and get us to think, you're the only couple who struggles with that. You're the only ones who do that. So this group has been really liberating for us to sit back and say, oh, good, you don't know what to do with teenagers either, you know, kind of a thing. It's helpful.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So where do you turn to when things get hard and you have a question, do I go this way or that way with maybe a specific issue and you're not sure? What's your source of, like, do you just say, Mom, help? Do you turn to trusted friends? What do you do? Or do you go with the challenges that you face in parenting or even in marriage?
Well, with parenting, you know, if my husband and I are, you know, maybe not on the same page, then we would seek counsel from the elder that counseled us. We would maybe, you know, talk to him, although there has been very, very few times, but there are, you know, some things here and there. And then also with any marital disagreements or maybe some things that we want to work on, you know, the same person. Same thing, he's just very, very spirit-filled and trusted, and you know, he walks the walk for sure.
And then, of course, our podcast would be one of the things you turn to.
I was going
to
say,
well, yes,
of course. Again,
right.
Well, now it is.
Now
it hasn't been, but it will be.
Yeah.
So, when you think about the challenges too, that of being just such a, we talked about some personality stuff. You're a natural leader, and enjoy that. What is that like to balance, to have that balance between being a wife, being a mom, running a company that you've been doing most of your life, it feels like? But
well, it's definitely challenging. but it's also very, it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I love people. I love working with people. So my job is, I don't look at it as a job, as it's just part of my life and my responsibility that God's given me, and I love it. So, you know, there's times where I have to pull away a little bit and give more attention to the family with needs there. And I think that in my earlier years, that was an area I definitely struggled. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like trying to find the balance, and sometimes it was a little too work heavy, you know. And then recently, because of, you know, some custody issues, I've really pulled away from work to make sure that my family's getting the best of me and getting the attention.
Can we flesh that out a little bit? Because again, it's unbelievable. Excuse me, what's on your plate? You give leadership to an incredibly successful business. So when you do decide, okay, I'm going to pull away, I think our listeners, we all struggle with that, leaving work at work and carving out time for a family. So when you do say, I'm going to do this, what are some practical steps you might take that our listeners could say, oh, okay, that's good to do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know it doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but I think anyone that can have an influence on their schedule can do a lot. You know, I've made it a point to pick up my kids from school. And once I pick them up, you know, unless there's, you know, a dire need to come back to the office, which they actually love being here. They've left messages for our divisional meetings the next day and slip notes to people. So they love being here. But, you know, I usually go back home and you know, it's family time.
Do you turn off the cell phone? Is there kind of like a
I'm not as good about turning it off.
I didn't mean to step into that.
No, it's fine. I'm totally fine with being open and honest. So I don't turn it off, but we do have a thing like at dinner. You know, at dinner, we leave the phones away down, and then, you know, there's just, we don't have like a set time, but, you know, throughout the evening, if we're hanging out, it's like, okay, let's put the phones down now. And, you know, because they're, you know, my older kids are 11, so, you know, they're all into their phones now too. So we try to just pull away from the tech for a while, but that is a huge problem today, I will say for sure. It's very consuming, and I think it affects relationships. Can really affect communication. I see that as a problem, you know, not so much for people that are older, but people growing up and that knowing that that's the way of life, you know.
Yeah. And it's a balance. You don't want to, like I text with my kids, and I think it's really opened up communication that we really haven't had, you know, just fun, goofy things, but also asking them, hey, how'd the test go? Or how'd your day go? How's work? How's grad school? And things like that. So I don't want to poo-poo technology, because I think it can be really helpful. But Chris, you're really good at this, of finding the balance at it. You've talked about even technological fasts before. Mm-hmm. I think just to exercise that muscle, I think the dinner thing is a great example of that. But maybe even take a day or a half a day, and to say, we're going to do a fast from this and kind of experience what that feels like.
Yeah, I was actually texting just now. Could you repeat that? I'm not quite sure what you just said. Lindsay, one of the things that you've done, I think that a lot of our students really appreciated, was hearing something from you about what it was like to go through what life, and then to process shame and guilt that, and the students, I think, really responded when you shared a little bit about your journey. I know you did a great TED Talk, or I Am Second.
I Am Second, yeah.
And it was just awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
But the students just really responded to knowing that when they've gone through some difficult times, when you shared what it was like for you to navigate that and how to get beyond shame, why do you think that resonates so much with young people? Is it because they just don't know how to do that? They're still struggling? What's your thoughts on that? And have you found that to be the case, that when you share about your story and your journey, that really resonates with people?
Yeah, I believe, I think of a few scriptures, but just that the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times people that are dealing with shame and guilt are ashamed to bring it up. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of living with it. And something like that that is in the darkness just continues to grow. And it eats up that person's character, mm-hmm. their identity, and it starts to try to tell them they're something they're not. Mm-hmm. So I think that me sharing, you know, them seeing someone that seems happy, seems to be doing all right, and then go, whoa, you went through all that, you did all that, mm-hmm. and you are okay now. I think it provides hope. Mm-hmm. I think it gives people permission to go, whoa, I can just share this stuff. It's okay. It's not gonna ruin me. Maybe I'm gonna feel better. Mm-hmm. So just opening that up where people can share. I think it's is it James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another so that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of righteous man avails much. That's so true, because you know, people don't always look at guilt, shame, and fear as sins, but they are, and now you've got a sin on top of a sin, and the enemy is just capitalizing on that. You know, he loves it.
If you'd like to hear more on this topic, check out our website. We have a lot of resources on this very thing. For example, there's a video called The 7 Qualities of a Happy Marriage, or a blog article titled The Good News About Divorce. You can find both of them and more at cmr.biola.edu. When Paul talks about in Romans, remember 5:3, he talks about how our sufferings produce endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. But oftentimes I think they miss that this suffering can actually be done for God's glory. There's a reason why you've gone through, and I've gone through, and we've each experiences. And as we navigate them differently, it comes out at the end of the day, he is the God of hope, and it is for his glory. And so you've been able to turn a lot of things that you've experienced to God's glory. And it sounds like one of your passions is also to help others be able to see that.
Yes.
And to help fix or rescue them to see that progression.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, I went through so much. If I did not have God in my life, I think I would have destroyed myself in one way or another, you know. And knowing that there's so many other people in that place or close to that place, you know, that don't share how they really feel. I mean, there's Christians struggling with, you know, pornography, depression, anxiety, you name it. I mean, there's just so many things. And it's like, okay, those are all coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's not being dealt with. You know, just asking for prayer in general is not going to get you the healing you need. You need to be transparent. You need to be open so that God can come in and do that work, because, you know, that's where the light really shines on the darkness. And I think that the enemy gets us to be so afraid of putting those things out there that we just stay in it.
Yeah. And good for you for going public with it. I think it's one thing to experience that privately and to feel God's release and grace and deal with it on a personal level, but you've chosen to go public. I mean, I loved your I Am Second video. I thought that was really courageous to be that transparent. And so were there any hesitations to do that, to put yourself out there in a pretty dramatic way and just talk about your successes and failures and things like that?
Well, I'm normally more on the private side. I've been real reserved as far as doing, you know, interviews. Let's put it this way, out of the hundreds of requests, you know, I've received, there's only been a couple that we've answered. And so
Is that because we're your favorite podcast?
Well, you know, I could probably say that since I don't listen to any other podcast.
Yes.
We'll take it.
Way to go, Lindsay.
We'll edit out the first part. We'll take the No, but that was a major decision to do that. That was my first introduction to you, was the I Am Second. I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful.
There's two different sites for me. There's my business life, and then there's my faith and, you know, his kingdom. So the kingdom one goes everywhere for me. You know, that horizon is limitless. So But as far as the business side, you know, I don't want people to just come in and I don't want to be this business mogul where I'm, you know, this person, you know, because for me, I'm more open about my personal life because I want to help. I want to inspire. Yeah. I want other people to have hope. I want to, you know, I want to see God use, you know, the things that I've screwed up. I want to bring him glory where I know that he can use all those things, you know, because there's other people that need to hear stuff that can connect to it and go, you know, just like you were sharing in the class, you know, they identify with some of those things. And I thank God that he's able to use it because otherwise, well, I think I'd be in a much different place today.
Yeah. Redeemer. Yeah.
Well, my wife was in that class. We co-teach this class for listeners. It's actually three couples. We do it. Chris, you and your wife, Elisa, they're the founders of the center, and then me and my wife, and then we alternate theologians. So Noreen said this, you've got to have Lindsay talk about this on the podcast. Remember we asked you this question, and again, the class is undergraduate students, and we just asked you, what would you say to a person who is thinking about committing, like getting engaged, right, pursuing marriage? What would be, based on your experiences, what would be the advice you'd give that person of, like, how do you know you're really, like what would be the cautions as you interact with a person and things? And you had some really good thoughts on that of what to look for and what to be worried about.
Yeah. I think there's some... There's some red flags that come up immediately for me if someone has just come out of a relationship, and I mean like very recently, or if they've just come out of, you know, divorce, or I think there's time. And it's not to put any limit on it because, you know, when I got divorced, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to wait years before I get married and, you know, I'm going to have to walk through the desert for years. And, but I think it's so custom to each person because that's how the Holy Spirit works, you know. And that is the main little check for a relationship is the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that you have peace. I think other people that have the Holy Spirit have peace about the relationship. And, you know, if there's concerns that other people around are bringing up, then hopefully, you know, those people in the relationship are going to, you know, listen and accept counsel rather than reject it. And if they're, you know, if they think they've got it all figured out and they're pushing away counsel, I'd say that's a red flag. Because they see that as a love need being met and they're going to guard it and protect it like a dog with its bone. Yep. You know, I mean, it's just, I know because I've done it. So, I think that, you know, just people being whole before they go into a relationship. And, you know, if someone says, well, how do I know if I'm whole? You know, well, are you okay being alone? Mm. Are you okay being alone? Or do you always need to be in a relationship?
That's good.
Because that was a huge issue for me because of the absence of my father when I was a teen and then him passing away. There was that love need that, you know, I had from, you know, I wanted my dad, but I couldn't have him. So, you know, I was drawn to guy friends and having a boyfriend and, you know, and then I had a huge fear of loss of love. Uh-huh. You know, I remember in earlier relationships, it was like I didn't want them to even leave town or go somewhere because I thought, well something's going to happen to them. And so, you know, people that come off needy, like they can't be apart, have that good codependency. Mm-hmm. You know, they do everything together. Now I will say my husband and I are like best friends and we love being together. We love doing things. But at the same time, I love that he might fall asleep before me and I have time by myself and God, you know, it's, I think it's healthy for people to have, time alone, time with, you know, a man connecting with another man, women being able to connect with other women because we're created differently. Mm-hmm. We are, that's you great. Know, and I think that God has created us to be so relational, and he wants the body of Christ connected and woven together. And that means not just a husband and wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, he wants the body of Christ to be connected and working together. So, and I think that's where we can lean on those people to see if our relationship is healthy before we go and get married.
Oh, that's good stuff.
So what advice do you give? We will sometimes talk to students who just say that they are dating someone who maybe doesn't share the same faith they have. They're maybe not quite as religious, or they're not quite sure they're a Christian, but they really love this person. What advice would you give for a person who says, I just want to be in a relationship. There's maybe a little bit of neediness. In fact, I'm willing to overlook even this big difference. Share your heart with them. And what do you think?
Well, if they're a Christian, then I think scripture is pretty clear. We're not to be unequally yoked. One of the things I loved about meeting my husband is I knew right out the gate that he wasn't a fixer-upper. Mm-hmm. You know, my other relationships had some of those qualities about it. And I think women, we're just strange. There's not a manual that you can reference, but we get this thing in our mind where, oh yeah, that'll change. I can change
him. You can change him.
No problem. Yep. Like, I got that. And that's no. Mm-mm. No, that doesn't happen.
But that's so good for our listeners to hear, though. I think there is this attitude, and we see it in film all the time. Mm-hmm. You get crazily different people, and it's like, okay, I'll change him. I can change her. And that mantra, and in the movies, they do change. And that's really the scary thing, is in the movie, you do see these radical changes. But I love what you're saying is, listen, if you know this is going to be a massive fixer-upper, it's just it fundamentally isn't going to work.
Right. Yeah, I think that I like to call it the justification relationship, you know, where, and again, I've done this one also, where, you know, well, yeah, but don't they still struggle with this, or don't they do this? Yeah, but, you know, once we get married, they're not going to. Yeah, once we have kids, they're not going to. Yeah. And they said they're going to stop, or, you know, if it's just going out drinking with the guys, or, you know, something like that. And they deem that as, well, all kinds of people do that. That's okay. And, you know, you just start justifying all of these areas that really are not, not healthy. And, it's crazy. It is crazy the way it happens, but it happens. And it seems so innocent.
I would add one more to that list. And here's the one we get. Well, he's kind of Christian. She's kind of Christian.
Raised Christian.
Raised Christian. Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, but is this, you're going to do a three-legged race with this person the rest of your life. And do you really want to be dragging that person and always saying, hey, let's go to church. Hey, why don't we do a family devotion? Hey, what? I mean, really? Do you want to do that the rest of your life? Have that unequally yoked when it comes to passion for the Christian life?
It's painful. It's very painful.
And tiring.
Yeah, it is. And it ends up being lonely. And marriage is supposed to be a partnership and, you know, a loving relationship where people are intimate, and it's supposed to be the most intimate relationship next to our relationship with the Lord. And so when you're not able to see eye to eye and stand on the same platform together, it's sad. It's really sad. And I think that, you know, someone in that position, you know, maybe they become a Christian after they've been married. So that's probably a lot of people. And, you know, the body of Christ has got to stand with those people and give them hope and pray with them, because, you know, there's many cases where the other person is won over and becomes a believer because of the person that prayed and prayed and prayed and believed. But you definitely don't intentionally enter into a relationship that's like that. Why store up all of that pain and, you know, really just a life that is not going to be the best God has for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so well said.
So Lindsay, you're finding sometimes people are showing up in your life and you're having an impact when you're able to talk about your journey and other things. What are, for you, when people respond to a little bit of your story, what do you think is for them, what are they struggling with most today? Are you finding out there? And you talked about marriages that are struggling in certain relationships. And is there something that you're seeing more and more of that people or couples are really battling or fighting a particular area?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I feel like a lot of men are not standing up and being the spiritual leader in the home. Mm. You know, why that is, I think the enemy's been doing a work for a long time. You know, a lot of divorce, a lot of single parents, a lot of, you know, the culture, too, of teaching this pride and you've got to make your living. And so some of that comes before the spiritual relationship and being a leader in your home. And then if there's any unresolved issues, like whether it's parenting or past or just issues in the marriage that haven't been worked out, then that stuff just is kind of swept under the rug and creates that distance between the two. Yeah. And then the person might retreat and find more acceptance and productivity at work. So then they're escaping there rather than working on the relationship. So, you know, Satan's been using these strongholds of the flesh since since the beginning. So,
and those footholds, just those little, like it's okay to go to bed angry.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I'm harboring a bad attitude towards you. So I'm not as cheerful as I usually am when I'm with you. And slowly Satan just loves to get that to be a habit.
Yes.
Then habits turn into, you know, be cemented, and now you've got bitterness.
Yep.
And I think he's been doing that. And we go back to the technology thing. I think we're crazy busy. Mm-hmm. And so I can't get to it right now. I can't deal with this. We got to deal with the kids. We got to deal with this. And then pretty soon we're always on the back burner. And then that's where the footholds.
Yeah. In Christian homes, I think it's so important that we get our priorities straight because, you know, I think a lot of people want to go and put the kids first, but we have to understand that, you know, God comes first and then our marriage is supposed to be next because that is the foundation for your children to stand on.
It is.
If you do not have that strong, your children are not being set up for the best for their future, you know, because you modeling that unity, that love, that connection, you know, all of those things are going to project right into the type of person they pick for themselves.
So true.
And I think that, you know, it's very common for us, like you said, to get busy and just go, oh, well, let's just do what the kids want to do. Let's just, you haven't had a date night in a year? Really?
Yeah.
That's not going to be good for your kids either. So.
No, that's so true. That's why I gave up modeling. It was the travel.
Just too much work.
I was in the Cayman Islands one weekend and then, you know, pretty soon. Why are you laughing, Lindsay? I'm not sure. No, but I think that's so good is, you know, we talk a lot at our marriage conferences about the romantic affair, right? Which could be pornography. It could be a Facebook affair. I think what is hurting American marriages is a family affair where the kids are always first. And then we had three kids who played sports and it was insane.
Oh,
pulled in different directions every single weekend.
Yes.
And then Monday comes and you're back at work and it's like, I'll get to our relationship next month or whenever, when the off season, and there is no off season anymore. And that's, I think what you're saying is you got to put that marriage first for the sake of the kids even.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes. And the other thing is, I mean, I don't know if some parents just like turn off this reality that their kids aren't going to be with them forever. I mean, you know, the relationship, when the ring goes on the finger, is supposed to be as long as we're on this earth. However, your children, you're waving goodbye to and sending them off and hoping, you know, that you've set them up to be responsible adults that know the Lord. But then you're left with that person standing next to you waving. And, you know, I think about that because I've watched a lot of people, you know, send their kids off to college and then move. And, you know, I'm always trying to keep perspective of, okay, I love my kids, but I've got to set them up to be ready to go because I'm not going to be with them forever. And
that's
that's why, again, the priorities and the perspective and making sure your marriage is strong for them, because it's going to need to be strong when they leave. You're going to need to know what to do with that person there.
That's right.
Lindsay, things that you see as God doing in the future, hopes and plans and dreams that you have, anything on the horizon, thinking this is something I see maybe happening in the next couple of years, or I'd love to see how God can work in this way. You have any future dreams or hopes or things that you're like, I want one day to do what?
Well, my big focus, of course, is just ministry and, mm-hmm. and growing that. And I think that our ministry, Army of Love, is really taking roots in a lot of different places. We have people in Africa that are getting books translated. We're connected with quite a few people in different places that have signed up mm-hmm. for our modules and want to volunteer and want to be on the front lines in the body of Christ. So I think that that's one of those things where we're just trying to invest time and giftings and just make sure people are getting connected and that we're, just seeing that grow. And it's interesting because, you know, when you look in Acts, the book of Acts, where, you know, Paul, Peter, they're going to different cities and speaking to different people. I don't see our ministry right now so much as going to different cities, but we're working with different ministries and different churches. And that's kind of like, you know, we're working with Teen Challenge. We're getting connected with their staff and going deeper with them and having regional staff meetings. And because we're one, I mean, we have such a strong pull, my husband and I both, to addiction, just helping because he lost his brother. I lost my dad. Mm-hmm. And I just have so much love for them because I think that I see past their addiction and know that there's probably a wonderful person underneath, and some of their own family members can't see that at that time. So, so we're working with Teen Challenge, and I kind of shared just how God's connecting people. We've been connected with a lot of other people. We just kind of recently got connected with Todd White, and there's can't think of them all now, but I just see God's hand working and people wanting to, you know, use Army of Love. Like, hey, you know, could you kind of come in and help, and you know, could some of our people join, you know, internships and things like that? Are really
where can our listeners find out more about Army of Love?
armyoflovearmyoflove.com.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Lindsay, thanks for joining us on this time and just to share your heart and your passion for what you're doing. And it's an amazing ministry you have, and the way God is using you, and even in ways you probably don't realize, but it's fun to be able to see that, how he's a redeeming God, isn't he, that takes all of our experiences and uses them for his glory. And it's a great story you have, and a great ministry, great, great place that he has put you. So,
yeah. Thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you guys. Could I share something with the listeners?
We sure.
Yeah, okay. I just want to share that, you know, as you've heard my story, I've had lots of failures and from adultery to smoking marijuana to drinking in my past. There's just been a lot of things that would seem to cut me off from God and church and being saved and restored. But he makes all things new, and it doesn't matter what you've done. He can turn your life completely around, and there's hope. There's not one person that should be hopeless. You should know that he's the God of the universe. He can do absolutely anything, and you are just a beautiful canvas that he wants to paint and show you that you are valued and treasured.
Man,
what a great way to close.
It's a great word. It's a great word for it, 'cause, he clearly has us engraved on the palm of his hand, doesn't he? And he doesn't give up on us. Lindsay, thanks for sharing that. That's awesome, man.
Thank you.
So it's good to have you. Well, we're really glad you joined us for today's podcast. For more resources on marriage and relationships, visit our website at cmr.biola.edu.
And we'll see you next time on The Art of Relationships.